The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that demystifies history one day at a time. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're looking at the controversial and conspiracy-laden history of one of the largest and strangest airports in the world. The day was February 28, 1995. The Denver International Airport officially opened to the public. The path to the airport's opening hadn't been easy. Some residents said it was unnecessary, as Denver already had an airport in the northeast corner of the city. Others worried the new facility wouldn't be accessible, as it was located roughly 24 miles from downtown Denver. Construction delays and reports of malfunctioning equipment only added to the public's concern, but the city officials who had championed the project insisted it would all be worth it. Their claim was put to the test when the airport finally opened, 16 months overdue and $2 billion over budget, but it was eventually proven right. 3 decades later, the airport is still serving the Mile High City, better, busier, and weirder than ever. The history of the Denver International Airport dates back to 1983, when a Latino lawyer named Federico Peña was elected as the city's new mayor. He had campaigned on a plan to expand and update the city's aging airport, which had been in operation since 1929. The initial proposal sought to get around the space constraints of the airport's urban location by building the addition across I-70 to the north. But residents of Adams County pushed back, arguing that a larger airport would make their corner of the city even noisier than it already was. Mayor Peña heard their concerns and worked with county leaders to craft a new, more ambitious plan. The city would try to annex land in Adams County to build a brand new airport, one that was far away from established neighborhoods. In return, the county's elected leaders would drum up support for the plan among their constituents. The agreement worked like a charm, and in 1988, voters approved the annexation of 54 square miles for a new international airport. By that point, Peña was about halfway through his second term, so it would be up to his successor, Wellington Webb, to see the project to completion. Webb took office in 1991, as Denver's first African-American mayor. His administration supervised roughly 85% of the airport's construction. Much of the revenue for the project came from leasing airport gates to various airlines. But one of the most vital players, United Airlines, refused to participate unless the airport was equipped with a new, state-of-the-art, computerized baggage system. Webb and the city reluctantly agreed, knowing that the choice would further delay the airport's opening and inflate its already bloated budget by an additional $200 million. That would have been bad enough, but the expensive, automated system also turned out to be unreliable. As Mayor Webb later recalled, quote, "We went through the embarrassment of going through the test run and having baggage that was designed to go to Casper, Wyoming, instead going to Shanghai." Unfortunately, those bugs were never completely worked out, and the baggage system continued to misdirect luggage and frustrate passengers long after the airport had opened. Despite all those setbacks, the opening of the DIA was still hotly anticipated by much of the public. On February 27, 1995, Denver's old Stapleton International Airport ceased operations after more than 65 years. Then, the following morning, a ribbon-cutting ceremony was held at Gate 38 of the new facility. Mayor Webb was on hand for the occasion, as was former Mayor Pena, who attended on behalf of the Clinton administration as the Secretary of Transportation. The two mayors cut the ribbon together, and shortly after, the first flight to depart from the new airport, United Airlines Flight 1062, took off for a trip to Kansas City. The DIA was the first major new airport to open in the United States since Dallas-Fort Worth more than two decades earlier. In addition, it was, and still is, the country's largest airport by area, covering a staggering 33,500 acres, or roughly 53 square miles. It's also home to the longest public-use runway in North America, which measures 16,000 feet in length, and it routinely ranks as one of the busiest airports, not only in the U.S., but in the entire world. That's a pretty good success story for an airport that was, for a time, mired in controversy. But that's not to say that the DIA is no longer subject to debate. In fact, since its opening, the airport has been implicated in a multitude of conspiracy theories. Some of them relate to the early woes of the project, like the construction delays and the ill-fated baggage system. Those setbacks led some more imaginative residents to question whether the airport was cursed, perhaps for being built somewhere it shouldn't have been, like on top of a Native American burial ground. Other theories relate to the airport's layout, which some claim hides a sinister intent. For example, its unusual pinwheel-shaped runways supposedly look like swastikas when viewed from the air. The sprawling airport's network of underground utility corridors has also led to rampant speculation, with theories ranging from secret bunkers full of aliens to a vast hidden city meant for the elite survivors of an impending nuclear apocalypse. It all sounds pretty far-fetched, but a lot of the suspicion is rooted in something that is, admittedly, hard to explain. See, the airport is home to a dedication marker and capstone that sits on top of a time capsule that isn't set to be opened until 2094. It's said to contain ordinary artifacts like the Colorado flag and a newspaper from the airport's opening day. But because the marker includes symbols associated with the Freemasons, many people suspect there's something far more interesting inside. Another reason for this suspicion is that the marker also mentions something called the New World Airport Commission, an organization that doesn't seem to exist. The marker suggests that the so-called NWAC was the group responsible for the airport's construction. Since the contributors listed include an architecture firm and a metal company, that could very well be the case. Still, when you have a large-scale public works project that includes some questionable design choices, and then you throw references to the Freemasons and the New World Order into the mix, you're pretty much inviting conspiracy theorists to speculate. Of course, the DIA is well aware of that by now, and they've since embraced their ominous reputation for marketing purposes. A prime example is the enormous 32-foot-tall statue of a blue horse rearing up in anger that stands on the road to the terminal. The size and stance of the horse make it rather imposing, but it becomes full-on frightening at night when the horse's eyes glow bright red. And if that weren't scary enough, the horse statue also has a truly tragic backstory. It actually killed its own creator. Back in 2006, when artist Luis Jimenez was still sculpting the fiberglass statue, a piece of its head broke off and severed an artery in his leg. Jimenez died from the injury, and his children completed the Blue Horse in his honor. That's why, even though the statue is officially known simply as Mustang, the locals now refer to the nightmare steed as Blucifer. Believe it or not, though, the art inside the airport is somehow even weirder than a giant killer horse. For instance, at the baggage claim, there are two stone gargoyles keeping watch over the luggage carousels. Taken together, the pair forms a sculpture known as Notre Denver, a cutesier name than you might expect for a couple of winged demons. Still, the most unsettling artwork in the whole facility has to be a pair of murals in the baggage claim done by artist Leo Tanguma. The piece's titles sound heartwarming enough: Children of the World Dream of Peace, and In Peace and Harmony with Nature. But the scenes they depict are actually terrifying. Children huddle in the wreckage of a ruined city, while a looming soldier in a gas mask stalks them, with an assault rifle in one hand and a cutlass in the other, which he's using to stab the Dove of Peace. The murals do suggest a happy ending of sorts, with the sleeping children dreaming of a better future, but it's still pretty heavy subject matter to hang on the wall of an airport. If nothing else, though, the murals and the rest of the airport's curiosities certainly give passengers plenty to discuss while they wait. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. You can learn even more about history by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can always send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.